Hey, Chad, you want to watch a movie?
Yeah.
How about...
No, not again.
What about...
I just saw that last week.
Okay. Oh,
I got it. Wait. You want me to watch what?
So, what did you think of Night of the Lepus?
I think that Night of the Lepus has tremendous potential for a remake. Because it's a quirky idea that should be revisited. Maybe with some different Western actors this time.
Maybe. So, let's get into it, shall we?
Let's.
So, Night of the Lepus is a 1972 science fiction horror film by MGM Studios. We know it's MGM, not just from the title card at the beginning, but because there's a scene with a drive-in where they are promoting other MGM movies.
Yeah.
Specifically, yes. So, rancher Cole Hillman is having a problem. Thousands of rabbits have overrun his land and neighboring lands. It's not just a him problem. It's an area problem. This happened because a few years back, they had a coyote problem. The guy they brought in to take care of the coyotes basically killed them all, leaving the prey to run wild. No natural selection, nothing in check. Cole goes to a nearby college to seek help from one of the professors, played by DeForest Kelly. And he recommends Roy and Jerry Bennett. Mm-hmm. They are trying to figure out ways in which to control animal populations without necessarily killing them or using pesticides or poisons.
They don't want to destroy everything.
Yes. And so they come out and they grab about a dozen rabbits to run some tests on, and they come across some things to help, including hormone therapy to kind of interrupt their breeding cycle a little bit. They inject one of these rabbits with a serum that is supposed to cause some birth defects. The problem comes in where the Bennett's daughter, Amanda, loves this one particular rabbit that got the birth defect serum. And so, kids being kids, swaps it with one in the control group because it's now her pet.
Eye roll. Everything that happens from this point out is her fault.
Yes. So, they're back out at the ranch. She's carrying said, serumed rabbit that nobody realizes is.
Mm-hmm.
Cole's son is mad to see this rabbit because it's killed cat, it's killed horses and stuff. Not this particular rabbit, but the rabbits have caused problems. So he boots the rabbit out of her hand and it runs off down into a rabbit hole. So children are to blame.
Aren't they usually?
So things go downhill very, very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
A while later, Cole and the Bennetts are inspecting the rabbit's original breeding grounds, the land that was barren first, and they come across some weird tracks.
Hmm.
Huge tracks, ones that they can't quite identify. The kids go off to inspect the nearby gold mine, and while they're there, they come face to face with rather large, blood-covered rabbits. At least, that's what we, the audience, know. Amanda, the one who sees them, goes into shock and can't explain anything right away. Mutilated bodies start cropping up all over the place. A guy driving a refrigerated truck pulls over to check the cargo in the back. He gets attacked. A family at a picnic area gets attacked. It's just chaos. Amanda kind of finally fills in the family what happened. They go to check it out, and sure enough, in the mines, they find a horde of gigantic rabbits. And the police have confirmed that impossibly rabbits have done this because there was saliva on the bodies and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay. They set up dynamite to collapse the mine in, killing the rabbits, which they do. However, most of them survived and burrowed their way out.
Mm-hmm.
Thus begins a rampage over the area. They make their way to a nearby town's general store and rampage through it, killing the owner and a few other people. They go after Cole's ranch and his horses.
Oh, yeah. Horses do a good job of getting out.
Yeah.
Doesn't help them, but...
But they don't do a good job of escaping the bunnies.
They do not.
Neither do the cattle later in the movie.
With the, you know, it's a 33 and a third record sped up to 45.
Yeah. Yeah. So they hatch a plan. They still got all these rabbits.
Mm-hmm.
And they're moving en masse.
They are.
So they come up with a plan. If we can herd them into this one area, we can use this railroad track as an electric fence. And the National Guard and the Army to kill them. So they recruit people at a drive-in theater. Just very calmly, they pull up in front of the movie, get out, and say, "Attention, there's a horde of killer rabbits coming your way. Please keep your windows up and follow us. We need your help." And what they end up doing is using the cars and the car's headlights to keep the rabbits where they want to go.
You know, when you say it like that, it just sounds so ridiculous.
Yeah. And every single one in the drive-thru, every single family says, "Yeah, all right.
This is perfectly reasonable."
This is perfectly reasonable. So they do. They herd the rabbits, they get electrocuted and shot, and all the mutant rabbits have died. About a season later or so, Cole's ranch is starting to come back a little bit. He's a few years behind schedule on a few things. But not all is lost. A few rabbits have popped up, but nothing like what they used to be. But they've also heard coyotes in the distance. And the movie ends with the kids running off through a field, and we zoom in on a couple of rabbits.
Mm-hmm.
So, a couple things about this movie.
Yep.
It has an eclectic cast. Like, Stuart Whitman and Rory Calhoun, both of whom were in many a westerns back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
It also stars Janet Leigh from Psycho.
Marion Crane herself.
Yeah, from Psycho and the infamous shower scene. And this movie has the distinction of not having one, but two Starfleet medical officers in it. DeForest Kelly, better known as Bones from the original series, and Paul Fix, who is Sheriff Cody in the movie, was the original Enterprise doctor from the pilot.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
So he was dropped when they retooled the show and got in Kirk and Spock and Bones and stuff like that.
Huh.
So, yeah. This movie was also based on a book, The Year of the Angry Rabbit. The book is about giant rabbits that run amok in Australia. And then the narrative was played for laughs. And it was an indictment of war. And when they made the movie, they dropped all the humor.
They certainly tried.
They certainly tried.
Well, they dropped all the intentional humor.
They dropped all the intentional humor. So last episode, we watched Attack of the Killer Tomatoes. A science fiction movie that was not serious and did not take itself seriously.
No.
This time we watched a science fiction movie that tried to take itself seriously, and it took itself very seriously, but the end result was not serious at all.
It, like I said, this is perfect fodder for a reboot. There are three things that really went wrong in this.
Yes.
The first one that really went wrong was the was probably just a function of the timing. The miniatures and blue screen effects and so forth, you know, when Bones and the other dude are looking down the vertical shaft and you see the heavy black outline around the hole.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, okay, I see what you're doing here. You couldn't have put a camera in a hole?
No, it is very much early.
This is the kind of stuff that when you watch the original Star Wars movies, now you're like, wow, that's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, compared to this, which was happening basically 5 years earlier.
Yeah.
You know, it really shows that growth of technology there.
Absolutely.
The next bit was, I don't know if these were first-time directors or early directors to this, but there's a very wooden acting that's going on in a lot of these places. And that's usually tied to the director and not the actor.
Yeah.
Because the director's job is to pull out reasonable performances from the actors there. And so I get this sense that they were at least inexperienced, probably, in terms of movie directing. And the third one, and this is the one that a remake would be able to do really well, is they didn't do a very compelling job of making the rabbits threatening. Because whether it's the miniatures or whether it's the black and white, the shadows and so forth, or the sound that the rabbits make, they're still just rabbits.
They're still just rabbits.
And so the miniatures didn't look realistic enough to think that, yes, these are horse-sized rabbits or wolf-sized rabbits, I think is what they say, you know.
Yeah.
It didn't do a good enough job to do that. And so there are a few times when it does work and it's really compelling. And it's like, wow, this could have been a scary movie when they show some of the close-ups of the mouth and the teeth and the blood, and it just kind of fits and works and the color's not that old Hammer, you know, Dracula, vibrant fire engine red. When that works, it works really, really well. But most of the time, what you have is a herd of bunnies that are going down a dirt path. Those are the three things that really go wrong that hold it back from being more than a novelty.
Yeah.
Because this is a novelty. This is a great novelty movie. And,
oh, yeah.
And it should be seen, but it should be seen as like a double feature with, I don't know, maybe Attack of the Killer Tomatoes.
Maybe. That's how we did it. So, the director, William F. Claxton, he is not a first-time director, but all of his directing experience comes from directing television shows.
I can see that.
So
very clear and defined acts.
I don't necessarily know if this was his first movie, but the majority of his directing experience comes from directing old school TV shows from the 50s and 60s. And the inability to make the rabbit scary is why I chose this. Because I first remember seeing this as a wee lad and thinking to myself, this isn't scary. This should be scary, but it's not. And the way that they try to make the rabbits look bigger and fail is hysterical to me. And when you get a split-second shot of a rabbit on top of a person, you can clearly see it's a guy in a suit.
Oh, yeah.
And you just see these bunnies bouncing along the miniatures. And they've slowed it down to make it more menacing.
Mm-hmm.
And it just doesn't work. It just looks like slow-mo bunnies in a model set.
It should have worked. It could have worked.
But it didn't.
But it didn't work.
And then interspersed with that are stock footage of other animals running away. And the quality of the stock footage does not match the quality of the film in terms of film quality. Because you've got this really grainy, poppy scene of cows stampeding away. And it's been sped up.
Oh, yeah.
Versus the cleaner, clearer film of the rabbits hopping along that has been slowed down. Mm-hmm. And you just giggle. Because you know it's supposed to be scary. Somebody thought, this is going to scare the crap out of kids. And it's just, nope, doesn't work.
Probably not.
Probably not.
Then again, my kid, Probably would be.
Probably. Yeah. Yes.
But my kid is frightened by things.
This is true. Okay, let's take kids out. It's supposed to scare audiences.
Yes.
But
it's not going to scare audiences as a whole.
No, it does not. It's just one of those movies where you need to see it to believe it. And after you've seen it, after a recharge time, you need to pull somebody else in and go, I got to show you this thing.
Yeah, that is exactly the way to watch this.
Yes.
You know, watch this with a friend.
Yeah.
You know, watch it the first time by yourself if you want.
Whatever.
That's fine.
It's a good laundry folding movie because the plot is essentially rabbits. They mutate. They get big and kill people. Then they have to stop the rabbits. You're not going to miss a lot of plot points if you don't pay attention all the time. But when you hear, like, the rabbit chatter, look up, because that's when the funnier scenes are going to be. Of these deadly rabbits just blooping along.
So far we've come up with two random designations for movies. We got laundry movie and we got leap year movies.
Yes.
That we've just done this month. Well, the leap year movies just this month. We've done laundry movies before, but
now we've officially
we need to really write these out.
Yes.
And put them in a description somewhere. It's like, what kind of movie are we watching this time? Man, what is going to happen when we come up with this is a good movie and damn it, everyone should see this.
No one's going to believe us.
No one would believe us. Nobody.
It's like Bill Murray walking up and taking a French fry. No one will believe you. So, overall, what did you think?
Overall, this is a wonderful example of how a 70s movie tried to cash in on the schlock of the 50s monster movies and almost does it. You know, because the acting is all done very straight. And the actors, like I said, I think they're a little bit stiff. They're a little bit wooden in it, but they're also playing it very sincerely.
Yeah, and I think a lot of them, with like the exception of maybe Janet Leigh, most of their experience came from television.
And nobody's winking at the camera which really helps it sell a little bit better.
Yeah, either stage or television, where it was very much, we do this, then we do this, then we do this. It's very laid out.
It's a very straightforward style of acting.
Yes.
But I'm with you. I think this is something that you should watch. The once, and then when you've got a group of friends together, I think a group of friends that's sitting around and riffing on it is really where this falls in, because there are so many stretches of silence.
Yeah,
when things are supposedly happening on screen, but it's like, how long was Janet Leigh working on that tire that she got sunk into the sand? And you'll hear the little sound of the rabbit.
Yeah.
Look around and you see a picture of the rabbit, then go back to her working on the tire, then back to the rabbit, then back to the tire. It's like
about halfway through the movie, you asked me, was this on Mystery Science Theater 3000 or did they do a riff tracks of it? And yes, they've done a riff tracks of it. It's a video on demand thing. Not that I'm promoting somebody else's product, but Mike, Kevin, Bill, if you're listening, hi.
We love your work.
We do.
It's an amazing body of work that you've all put together.
Yes. You've inspired us. But, yeah, I'm so glad that you enjoyed this, because as soon as I remembered this thing existed, I'm like, Chad must see this.
Well, and I would imagine this is one of those things where, kind of like Attack of the Killer Tomatoes for me, it's like, man, if Justin doesn't like this at least a bit,
yeah.
I have seriously misjudged the kind of movies he'll watch. And I assume it's kind of like that. It's like, how can you not want to watch Attack or Night of the Lepus?
Yeah.
And just at some point in the movie, looking at your friend and going, you son of a bitch.
And I've got a few movies lined up where I know you're not going to enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to show them to you to punish you so much as I've seen this shit. And you haven't. and misery loves company, ergo.
Is this like when I was texting you updates on Gaspar Noé's love?
Yes.
Okay.
You didn't do it to be mean, but you needed someone else to experience it with you.
Very well. I volunteer as tribute.
Okay. So yeah, that's really pretty much all I have to say about this movie. I think it's your turn.
I got an idea.
All right.